we have anybody on Zoom?
No.
Not yet? Okay. Councilman, forgive me. I was supposed to move. I had not.
What?
My car.
Oh, don't worry about it.
I was, and I've been so.
You're good.
Slammed.
You're good.
How many Zoom guests do you have?
Okay.
I don't think there's any.
Okay, I appreciate it. Okay. Ooh, it's been a day. James, okay, there it is, Madeline. There's James. We have an SMB that's coming on. This will be a quick one, and then we can go into what we want to do. Madeline, give us just a moment, because I'm expecting somebody from another county to come on.
See the cat.
Willie, can you do me a favor? Can you call James Washington?
We were,
and
as a club, we were enormously embarrassed by how he screwed up the other
James
day.
Washington.
He didn't screw up.
Let's see if just he needs help or is having any trouble.
Test 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1.
No, it's better than people
absolutely.
But you were great. Yeah, in fact, I've got a rotary sport meeting today and stuff quite a
thank you.
We shouldn't be doing the installation and.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to walk all the way. But I'm
going to give you the back of my head. Back of my bald head.
Good to see you, my friend. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And he says, what bald head?
Yeah.
Oh, Lynn.
You know, I got a couple of professors now. When I'm not here, they come in. I don't yes. recognize them.
Hey, he wanted me to introduce himself. He said, what can I do? I said, well, I'm not sure yet. I don't know.
Ma'am, can you hear us?
Man,
I'll tell you what we are getting to. We were just talking about Beth and I. We're beginning to understand the end. Our report is going to be the how of the process going forward. Because site selection, I think we're going to have a pretty clear understanding what the culture of intention care is these days across the country and how we need to build a facility that reflects that. I think we're going to understand and appreciate that we need to get somebody who can bring the country, the business together. For us to say, well, we may come down from on high with the tablets and say, we need 3,000 beds, we need 200 infirmary beds, and we need a mental health center. I think we're going to go that far. We'll see. But I think that's when the rubber's going to really
an ambitious goal to shoot for.
There is still nobody else but that one person.
So if you go to Rikers.
I'm people right now.
All right.
Right.
For jumping a turnstile, you're always going to be going back there. You're never going to get out of that cycle. That's what you want to get avoid.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we need to focus on outcomes. And outcomes is getting these people out of the system and back into a contributing member of society.
Absolutely.
However, form of fashion.
Anyway. You see me get up and run out, don't take it personal.
Yeah. We understand.
Are we going to go 2 hours? I'm not going to be able to stay 2 hours. So.
We're not staying 2 hours. Okay. I got to
be out here late at 5:30.
Yeah, we're not going to be here. Okay. I suspect I was waiting for somebody, an expert, to come in. He's trying to get on.
Yes, sir. Sorry, the room's difficult.
He wasn't able to get on. He's having issues.
Yes, sir.
He called on the phone.
So what?
Really, he's calling on the phone.
No, he's accessing the Zoom.
Right. So what's the problem? Why are you not giving this? Why can't you do it? I sent it to him. Did he not get it? Eric sent me. I sent her exactly what Eric sent me. Everyone, please forgive me. There's a tech expert where this group built a new jail, and this group out of Texas, out of Dallas. I was able to get one of their execs on, and we've had some good conversations. Hold on. I suspect this meeting will not be too terribly long. Thank you for being patient. Hey, Mr. Washington. Can you hear me? Hello? What'd he say? So he never got the link? JWASHINGTO@JPSHealth. You can't pull what from it. Okay. Let's go ahead, everyone, and call this meeting to order. We can start our discussion. It is about 4:09. We do have a subject matter expert who's coming on from JPS Health. They are out in Dallas, Texas. I've had some great conversations with JPS Health and one of their executives, and so I was trying to get Mr. Washington on. Our team is working right now to try to get him on. I know we sent the link earlier, but that's one of the reasons why we try to use this room. But nevertheless, we are working on that. But in respect of everyone's time, I want to go ahead and move forward. So we'll call it to order at 4:10. First of all, I want to go over the committee charge and update. As you know, we had to push one of the meetings back due to the fact of the room being occupied. So in today's meeting, our focus is going to be really talking about the spiritual and social well-being, but also the information that we'll get as to what the facility needs to look like to support that. Some of the questions that we'll have that we hope to get answered today are the importance of spiritual and social support in detention setting, strategies for creating an inclusive and supportive community, recommendations for integrating spiritual and social services, building connection with the local community, and then, of course, the questions specifically for the committee are going to be, how can the facility accommodate diverse spiritual needs? What role can social support play in rehab, and how can community engagements be enhanced through facility design? I'm going to skip just a bit to our upcoming meetings, which is Roman numeral 5. Our next meeting is going to be set for January 8th, which is talking about facility design and technology specifically. There'll be an architectural, although we did hear from design experts, there's a specific architectural group that are supposed to be coming on, and then on that same meeting, which will be a pretty lengthy meeting, the sheriff's office, I've reached out to several contacts there. They will be coming, and that's where we'll ask them a ton of questions to really get some feedback there and then try to crunch the data. Our next meeting after that will be January 22nd, which will be the drafting recommendations and feedback as we go through the collaborative findings. And then on February 19th, that should be the final report and recommendation meeting. So we'll be working feverishly to keep up with that schedule. The next thing is I want to add in something. I know personally I'm working to look at other facilities and come back with recommendations from those. I will write the reports of the facilities that I visit. I know on this Wednesday I'm scheduled to go to Orlando to the Orange County Detention Facility. They're a quasi-new facility, and so my friend Buddy Dyer, who's the mayor down there, is allowing me to go through their facility, and I'm going to have that report hopefully done that I can send out to everybody. Since we're off on council for the next couple of weeks, I hope to spend time kind of crunching the information I get from there and to be ready for that next week. And then I have two other trips coming up, and I plan to visit jail facilities in both Austin, Texas, as well as Los Angeles. The LA facility is an older facility, but they've done some rehab work, and I hope to get some details from there so I have something with for us to look at. So those three reports, I think, are going to be very key, along with all the other data that we get. I think that's everything quickly. At this point, though, I want to introduce someone who I've had an opportunity. And, James, we're going to pepper you with a good deal of questions. This is James Washington, who is with JPS Health Network. And James is out of the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area, with one of the facilities there. And James, thanks so much for all of the feedback that you've been able to provide for me over the last few weeks and as I've kind of picked your brain. Before we get into it, if you could give us, because I do have some questions for you, and my apologies as well. I did not recognize the chair of the overall committees of the working groups for this special committee on redesigning the jail, Chair Michael Boylan, who is here with us. And I see a sign for President Salem, so even though he's not here, we still want to recognize him. He may come into this meeting. And I'm going to skip the introductions for now since most of us know each other. If you have questions, please raise your hand and you can introduce yourself there. But James, I want to get right to you. If you could give us a quick introduction of JPS Health, what they do for the jail there, and the any like initial starting points for the facility, because I know I have a bunch of questions I'd love to be able to get on record. I think you may be on mute. We cannot hear you. Stand by just a moment. Hold on 1 second. Our team is working to... So we're good on our end, Eric? We can't hear you, James. Can you hear me okay? Nod your head if you can. James, can you hear me? You can hear me. Okay, we cannot hear you. I feel like I'm back in the Zoom hell days. Let's see.
They're having issues the other day. So the air's one we had. I was trying to join by Zoom. I could hear anybody.
I know I was in, I think last week I was in Tennessee, and I was fine on mine. James, they're working on it, and my apologies. I know your schedule's a little tight. Let's see. Is it, Eric, is it just that we can't hear it?
I think they can hear us, but we can't hear them. Or him. I don't know if Natalie can speak or not, but I definitely can't hear him.
Okay.
I don't know who. I think we have some issues with our system.
All right, James, we may need you to join by phone. Is that possible? Eric, if he calls in, would that help?
I don't have that set up here.
No, we don't. Okay, James, I'm going to try to see if I can call you on my... James, I know this is crazy. Do you have... Let's see, I got your number somewhere here.
They can hear each other. We can't hear them.
Okay. Can you hear me, Mr. Washington? No, but I'm going to put you on speakerphone and put you, we're going to just, we're going to rig this thing because I know you got some good data. Hold on a moment. All right.
Not a problem.
All right, where there's a will, there's a way. Okay, James?
Yes.
Okay, I do have you on speakerphone. So we have put it together. Thank you so much for coming in to give us some feedback. If you could start by a quick just introduction of yourself. I know you have a lot of education, been in the field for a while. Quick introduction.
No problem at all. My name is James Washington. I am actually the manager of business operations for John Peter Smith Hospital here in Fort Worth, Texas. We provide all of the medical and hospital services for the Tarrant County Jail.
James, do me a favor. Okay, you're muted there. Eric, I mute him here. No, that's not me. No, you're good, James. You said what?
Is that better?
That's better. Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Once again, my name is James Washington. I am the manager of business operations for John Peter Smith Hospital. We have a hospital inside the Tarrant County Jail. I've been in this position roughly about 2 years, and one of my jobs is to maintain and support the hospital and the relationship between the Tarrant County Sheriff's Department. We have a full-service hospital. The only services we don't provide are surgical services, and that would be like if you had to have open heart surgery. The facility is fully staffed for, we have a dentist, x-ray, a clinical staff, we have an oncology department, and we also have an OBGYN department. One of the things that we're working on right now is gaining the accreditation, the NCCHC accreditation for the jail. And so I'm working at the Sheriff's Department on gaining that accreditation. The process takes roughly about a year and a half to get that accreditation.
James, can you say that? I know we're working on another solution for the audio. What accreditation is it, and what is it for again?
Yes, it's the National Commission on Correctional Healthcare. So it is the standard that most jails, 95% of the jails meet the standard. And you want to have that standard because it shows that your operations are up to par. So if you follow the standard by the NCCHC, you normally won't have any issues.
I know this is a question I guess I should ask, and no, we don't have, and I'm still working to get some information here. Michael Lynn, you may know this. Do we have that certification here yet with our...
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, James. Thank you for that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. And one of the initiatives that we're working on right now is an initiative to kind of do some innovations within the jail. So each inmate inside the facility will receive a bracelet, and we'll be able to monitor their heart rate. If the inmate has fallen over, we'll get a notification, and our clinical team will rush to the inmate's cell and see if they need services, medical services right away. In June, we're going to launch a tablet service where each inmate will have a tablet, and then all visitations within the facility will cease, and the visitations will happen via tablet. So you will have to call in. They will have to log into the tablet for visitation purposes. They will also serve as a dual purpose. They'll be able to take classes to get their GED. They'll be able to look for jobs if they're getting close to being released. And so it's something we're building upon right now. So the jail is currently going under remodeling. So we have five facilities. One of them is completely empty, and it's going under renovation right now. The facility that I'm currently in, the 14th and 13th floor, are under renovation. So we have inmates that are kind of at a different location right now.
So, and everything you do right now, of course, I know you talked about, I want to go back to the bracelet issue because I know we're focused on health, and part of what I put into our charge, even though we're focused on health, is about rehabilitation, so it includes mental health.
It does.
This bracelet situation, though, like if they're in distress, can they press it? Does it just read all their vital signs? Give me a little more detail about that. And what is it called?
Yes, absolutely. So with the bracelet, if the inmate becomes distressed and he needs assistance right away, he can press a button, and we have nursing staff on each call, a team of nurses, and the nurse will respond right away. If the inmate is in a situation where he's unresponsive, there is a code called a Dr. Hart. that's when our providers and the nurses go into the cell and they provide any kind of CPR services to kind of resuscitate the inmate. And then we transport the inmate out to the hospital if an EKG machine has to be utilized.
Based on facilities, when you, I hear you saying that you do have a medical professional on each of the pods or wards or what have you. Based on that, what's your response time? And then do you have one of those on each of the, wings or in one of the areas, or how does that work?
Yes. So we have a main clinic area where the inmates are brought down to be seen by a doctor. We also have a nursing team that is on each pod. So the nursing team consists of two RNs and five LVNs. So they're able to cover each pod. And so if an inmate is in distress, the nurse will respond first. If there's something that requires something we call a Dr. Hart, she then can call a provider, a doctor, and he will come up to the floor the clinic and provide the assistance
space. You said, okay, but you do have a space on each of those where the medical provider needs to be, correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you know percent, and I know we talked about you sending some numbers as well, do you know percentage-wise, like, do you take, how does it work with you when you make that decision of taking the housed citizens out to go somewhere else for medical care versus the stuff that you can do right there at the facility?
Yes. So say for instance, we don't have vision here. So we would have to set up a vision appointment, work with the sheriff's department to make our transport, take them to that appointment, and then bring them back. Everything else here pretty much can do except surgical procedures. So say, for instance, if they have a mask that needs to be removed, they would have to go to the main hospital, which is about 2 miles away, and have that performed. But in-house, we have an OBGYN, we have a dentist, we have an x-ray technician, we have phlebotomist that draws blood. So we have all those other resources in-house.
Based on all the other stuff you've been doing there and what you've experienced, and obviously your education and experience with healthcare management, would you recommend trying to put a facility in or trying to put somewhere in the facility that allows for some of those other places to, like, allows other things to happen where people don't have to go at all? Like, as we try to build this new facility, as you know, that's what we're charged with doing. What would be your recommendations on that?
Yeah, so one of the things that I would surely recommend and something that we're looking at is actually bringing surgery in-house. It would just depend on what procedure needs to be performed. The challenge that we're having right now is space. The jail doesn't have a lot of medical space where we could have that type of facility inside the jail. So right now, we're looking at housing the inmates that have a higher level of acuity at a facility called Cold Springs. And that facility has room for operating room.
Okay. I do have a bunch more questions that I really want to get the answers to, but I know this echo is, I'm sure for especially the people who are trying to transcribe this, we're having some issues, and I have you playing through my phone. So, James, let me figure out. Hold on.
And if you want to, Councilman Johnson, what I can do is...
Can you all hear better like that? Because I think it's this. Can you all hear that? Yeah, I can hear. Okay, James, go ahead. What were you saying?
What I was saying, if you want to send me a list of questions,
yes.
I have a deck that's built, but I need to kind of go in and finagle it and send it back and include the questions that you have for me.
Okay.
I can send that deck to you, and then you can kind of distribute or gather questions that your team may have.
Okay.
And I'll be able to answer those for you. And I have no problem hopping on a call again with you guys.
Yeah, because we've never had this before. I don't know what is going on with our Zoom or what have you, but I do have a list of questions for this meeting, and so what I'll do is send them over to you, because I really, you know, in our recent, obviously you just come on board with me, and I appreciate you reaching back out. But I do have a litany of questions. It's just I want to make sure. So what I may do is schedule a time, if you and I can get together in the next, I know our council is off in the next week. We're going to finish our discussion here today. But what I'll do is send that over. And in fact, I'll send you the deck that I'm not deck, but our like meeting plan. And you'll see the questions from the previous meeting. Also, there was a deck from one of the construction groups, but I'd like to get your feedback on that since your jail is fairly, you know, a new facility.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. I have no problem doing that for you at all. As soon as I receive it,
okay.
I'll get to work on it, and I'll do a quick turnaround for you and get it back to you.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. My apologies for the technical issues.
No problem.
All right, we'll talk. Bye-bye.
I'll
talk to you. Bye-bye. All right, so I was referred to Mr. Washington by another someone I met. I have a list of questions that I'm going to be dealing with for our Orlando trip. But I want to, at this point, see, is there any feedback that you have? I really wanted to get, because they recently created the Dallas-Fort Worth area where James is, they recently built this new facility. And so I had a bunch of questions I wanted to ask him, but I also wanted to make sure that it's on the record. So what I'm going to try to do, I'm not sure what's up technically, but at this point, let's go ahead and move forward with any public comments or any questions that you may have, and then we'll try to reschedule. Are there any questions from the audience? I know we do have an official public comment, but any questions about any of the stuff we heard? This is my first trip also, even though I did do some work, the NCHC certification. I'm going to do a little investigating on that, because one of the questions I had as well was, is there like a mission as to one of the things that people kept saying when I showed them that deck from the construction company, councilman as well. And by the way, please recognize HR. Councilman Peluso is here. Jimmy Peluso.
Recognize.
That one of the questions I had, though, or that kept coming to me, was the place is too nice of a facility. It's going to make people want to come back. That's what I kept hearing over and over. And I talked to several groups who are in this line of work. So my question to them was, well, is the mission for them not to come back because they have been rehabilitated, or not come back because they had such a horrible experience?
I do have a couple. Your list of questions for JPS, I got a sense that obviously they provide medical services. Is it basically outbound, or do they have a bed facility that they manage?
According to what, and that's one of the questions I want to ask James, according to what I understand is they manage the facility that is in,
as part of the jail. Part of the jail.
So it's kind of like the same
that
we have here. That's why I chose
an infirmary kind of feel to it that has obviously much more expanded service and facility than we presently do.
But one of the reasons I went to talk to them is because, like they were saying, if they had to go out for a certain procedure, would it make sense, much more sense, for them to have, or for us to have a place on site? If we're building this new facility and we're spending, we don't know how much yet, but I'm going to just say somewhere upwards of $500 million. If we're spending that much money, do we need to put some facility on there so we don't have to go transporting people to another hospital or to a hospital facility, especially since we don't know where the place is going to be?
We just learned last week Phoenix, I believe, was $888 million for a 3,000-bed facility, which is...
888?
Yes. That was then. This is now. So,
what do you mean that was then? I mean,
by the time we get around to building this, it'll be $1 billion. But to your point, the other question, the percentage of that, if it's a 3,000, what I imagine Dallas is probably a pretty good sized facility.
Yeah,
I'd love to know what percentage of that is dedicated to provide behavioral, mental health, and physical health care.
That was one of the questions.
I'd love to see some of those answers.
So what I'm going to do is copy you ladies on the email to James, and then if we need to, we can all jump on a call again. But I'm going to ask James.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind sending me whatever deck he brings back to us, I'd love to be able to get a better sense of that.
Come back, because our brief conversations in the last week to 2 weeks have been really interesting with, although mental health is a major part of the mix, they are, it's almost like proactive versus reactive,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's
they have
great.
Been very reactive to the things that are happening when it comes to health.
Sure.
Right? Both spiritual, to be honest, has That's not great. Been a part of what they were trying
right.
to do. So they were intrigued by what we were looking at. Do we need places in the facility for quiet rooms and special areas and yoga or whatever?
Yeah. Well, we saw a lot of that in the housing side of things, recognizing creating facilities that provide a calming environment as best they can. I was also intrigued by the monitoring bracelets they talked about.
I was very intrigued by
that. That is very cool.
And the fact that I guess the other thing, having like kind of now taking a little deeper dive into this work, is yes, the bracelets are interesting, but I also have to look at the other side of those people that have the bracelets. Not just monitoring, but can they take them apart? Can they create a satellite to space or whatever the case may be, right? And I'm serious. I mean, there's some very ingenious folk that we learned just at the JSO facility. So if they have this kind of technology, I'm weighing that against also now everybody's getting tablets.
That'd be a question to ask in the conversation.
I'm going to ask, how are the bracelets working?
How are they working and how they're being abused?
Yes. Because if you have the bracelet on and let's say you can, I don't know, speed up your heart rate, does that mean you can then trick the system to get out of whatever or what have you? It's a great thing, but, you know, nothing is fail-safe, but is that something we should look at here and how it should be built? Yes, please. And then, Rashonda, I saw your hand, and then we'll get to public comment.
Thank you, Chair, for allowing me to kind of step down here and
sure,
say hey.
Sure.
So I actually have a quick question for you, Chair Boylan, as well. So when we had our last meeting, and I'm a little upset you weren't at the last meeting. We had some good stuff. We had Putnam County call in, and to the point that you were just mentioning about yoga and art and things like that, they're doing that down there. And I looked at it was the undersheriff. I said, I've spent time in Putnam County. If you had told me that you guys are doing yoga and art stuff in your jail, I would have never told you it was in Putnam County. And they, you know, they laughed. But to that end, they were like, we do exactly what's needed to do to get people out of this facility and to make sure they don't come back, which I thought was great. So I would recommend.
Oh, wait, they said, we do, say that again?
Yeah, they do. They do art classes. They do yoga. They do a lot of instructional stuff in their facility.
What was that quote you said, Councilman? That you said, we do whatever they need to do to keep people from coming back to this facility?
Yes. Yeah, like to rehabilitate someone okay. and make sure that they don't come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Yoga for Change was actually a program that was not at pretrial detention center, mm-hmm. but it was at the youth facility.
Yes.
And I actually saw it working there.
So my quick question to you, though, as we were talking about the Matrix House, for instance, who has, I think, about 135 individuals in their program. They're doing great stuff. But I realize that the CTC is also a part of this process. When we talk about pre-detention in jail and police memorial building, are we putting the CTC also a part of the pre-detention trial?
I would think it would make sense to put it all together.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right.
Yeah,
good.
I mean, I think the determination at the end of the day, I'm sorry.
No, please.
I don't. My expectations of the deliverables of this committee is changing a bit to the extent. I think we are going to offer our perspective as to the kind of resources, but ultimately that's a balance between what JSO has the wherewithal to do in their charge. Their charge is to obviously manage inmates and people in detention facilities. The other entities are the ones who then come in. We provide the facilities for them so they come in and do the programs. And Yoga for Change is a perfect example. To create an anticipation of a significant yoga space, I'll use that as a poor example, if there's no one there to offer the program, what's the point? So I think we have to look at some of that as part of this process. So, and I'm tending to think the evolution of our work is going to be focusing on some observations and recognition of what's happening nationally in terms of the culture and the industry as a whole, and the focus, as we just talked about, on outcomes, not just a matter of detention and getting them through the legal system, but getting them to be productive at the end of the day.
Yep.
healthy and productive at the end of the day, I think is where we need to go. And then I think likely what we learned at the last one, and I believe at one of yours as well, there is a fairly sophisticated process we're going to have to go through. Site location, one, a determination of the kind of construction model we're going to embrace to do this, and those kind of things. And so I think that'll be a big part of what we do. I think we're not going to etch in stone specifically how many beds, you know.
Certainly.
But I do think in your committee certainly is critical as we take a look at, you know, how close we need to be to the, you know, justice system in the process, you know, to get people centralized, intake, et cetera. And then what Rockmont's doing, which I think is, in many respects, with all due respect, the most important work, mm-hmm. is the marketing change and how we address the significant number of folks who have mental, behavioral, and mental and physical health issues in a facility that was not built at its time to provide those kind of services as a priority.
And
if I may, Mr. Chair, I'm so sorry to interrupt,
please?
But I got to ask. So you, yeah, but if you said not going to obviously lock in the stone with how many beds the facility would have, but I mean, isn't part of this work as we look at what the facility looks like?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
For us to say, like, hey, we need to have a minimum of.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, it would be that, absolutely. And that's what I'm going to say. If we look around the country and see that you've got a facility in Dallas that 30% of the facility is designed to support people with health issues, physical, mental, behavioral health issues, our recommendation is we need to be, you know, our facility would be no different as to how that might work. But to say a specific number of beds, perhaps not, but, you know, some sense like that.
It's a minimum number. And if I may, before you, Councilman, when you also said the, like, putting the things in the facility, and, Jimmy, you were saying if nobody's there to lead them, which I understand that, but I think our charge, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but our charge would be to say, hey, we build the facility. We get the facility with all of the tools necessary, and it then falls on the sheriff's office to make the determination as to the programming. Am I incorrect in that assumption?
Well, that was an interesting trilogy we took a look at the other day. You've got basically, you've got three entities. You've got the developer, the architect, builder as one. We are essentially the checkbook as two, and the JSO is three because they're going to operate the facility.
Right.
So, like, when I go to my dad and say, I want to buy a Tesla, and he say, I don't have money for a Tesla, you know. So we there's a balance that we're going to have to get to. So getting a better understanding of the willingness of the sheriff's office to, you know, change some of their culture to embrace, you know, the new technology and the new facilities, I think the facility is going to drive a lot of that. And that's where we have our voice.
Well, that's what we're hoping.
Yeah,
and not to prolong it, but you're right. What happens then if the culture changes and then the leadership changes and then the culture changes again? Because, you know, there we have an election every 4 years.
Well, I think what you're going to see, as we're learning with the subject matter experts that you and I and Jimmy and others are bringing to the table, we're going to understand what are the best practices out there and how do we get ourselves prepared for the next 3 decades of, you know, detention and support.
I did kind of want to butt in real quick as we're talking about sort of what this new facility looks like. One of the things that was glaringly important to me when we had Putnam up there is he had said our corrections folks are being retained at such a higher level now that they have a new facility.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the number one issue that people placed when we did their outbrief as they left was they didn't want to work in that facility anymore.
Right.
And as we've all gone in that jail, of which, you know, it's not a sunny, fun place, but to be a corrections officer working in there as well, I could totally see somebody saying, enough of this. I can't do this anymore.
And I really respect Dr. Johnson's, you know, interest in saying it's not just
Dr.
the inmates
Johnson.
But the teammates. Councilmember Dr. Johnson.
No, I love it. He is Dr. Johnson.
That's pretty cool. But your point's well taken. We do need, and I think the sense of urgency of the $9 million investment that we approved shortly, that requested is to get the process started to make that request, to get the building back to the safe and secure that people feel more comfortable in working. It's never going to be So we do, you know, transform into a new facility, but it'll certainly be better than it is now, we hope.
So you got a public comment? You want
to? I do. Let's jump in. Rashonda, Ms. Shine, could you come to the mic, please, and if you don't mind, so you can.
My question was answered.
Oh, okay. No worries. All right. Well, public comment. No problem. No problem. Thank you so much. Your public comment. Carnell Oliver, please come up to the mic. How are you? Good to see you, sir. By the way, Carnell, I saw your email this weekend where you requested $100,000. I saw it. I was like, well, I want $100,000 too for consulting services. But
checks,
go ahead.
Carnell checks in the mail.
Don't forget to please state your address for the record. And you have 3 minutes, sir.
Yes, my name is Carnell Oliver. I'm coming here today to kind of like outline some cost saving benefits. If we can just get the sheriff's office just to write more citations. Underneath Florida State Statute 939.185, people who are impoverished are forced to sit inside of jail, and they're going to be forced to take a plea to help fund the court libraries, other needed services that should not be taking place within our community. Because to me, poverty is tied to racism. As we focus on how do we break this cycle, one of the things that you have to do is create a line item budget for the court system, particularly when it comes down to the courthouse's legal aid program. Because I spent some time last week over there doing some research, and I found out that a lot of people are forced to take a plea agreement, sent aside in the jail because the bond may be too high. And they're in a situation where they're in a bind where they wait them out, rot them to death until they take a plea. And that's not very fair in my mind. What needs to be really addressed is that the sheriff is going to be coming to y'all asking for maintenance dollars. Right then and there is an opportunity to talk about expansion of the citation system. That is a complete savings. That means that you can put a higher percentage of priority on most dangerous offenders. Now, who they may be, I do not know. But we have got to take a clear, good look at how our criminal justice system is counterproductive instead of being productive in protecting the service of the people, but also at the same time giving relief to people who are impoverished, especially the African American community. We have been victimized by the criminal justice system. And if there's a way to take a good look at our ordinance to see if we can put direct funding towards the legal law library at the courthouse, then let's do it. Because I think there are a lot of things that help fund the sheriff's budget, and it's not fair to the people who are not conscious minded about those issues. And I yield my time.
Thank you so much, Mr. Oliver. And I want to recognize from HDR, Tracy Dawson. Tracy, we had some tech issues, but one of the reasons I wanted you here is because we had our team, well, some the subject matter expert from Texas coming on, but unfortunately we had some tech issues, so I'll be looping you in on that conversation, because even though they had a different architect, I think your team's advice would be invaluable. So we'll be back in touch with you with that, and I'll get everybody together and get back on Mr. Washington's schedule, and hopefully we can try to do what we were hoping to do today. But I think I'll be having a report, like I said, to everyone from my Orlando trip that'll be available hopefully by early next week. All right. If that's it, right now this is the last scheduled meeting of the year. Our next meeting is going to be on January 8th. I surmise after a few emails, which obviously are public record and will include everybody on those emails, but I will surmise that we may have a call meeting between now and then, especially because I want to make sure that we get as much detail as we can in so that we can have the report ready by February. Are there any questions? If there aren't, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, and we look forward to the great work we'll do in the coming year. Thank you for your service. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
But gentlemen, do y'all understand what I'm talking about when I say what I'm talking about? State statute and how people are being incarcerated, thrown inside of the jailhouse for low-level offenses?
Yeah,
civil citation. Yeah, we get it.
I should be you talking about it. I don't think that's a sheriff. That's good. So they're allowed to do it by county.
Right, but this sheriff has said publicly that this is not something of interest.
So our state attorney. It's definitely a conversation. Like I intend to have, I'm going to have the bail project speak in front of my group.